Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. And today I have Allison Charles Story, Oracle seer and author, is here with me. Hi.
Yay. Welcome back to your own show. I feel like we can intro each other since you had a little bit of a pause.
Yes, thank you for bringing it up, because I was telling Allison I felt a little self-conscious because the last podcast I did, I was like, goodbye, everybody. This is paused for now. And it was. I meant that. But it just felt like I had to bring it back, and I had to bring it back with Allison. And I'll get into that in a second. But I will say why I paused playing with the paranormal for now is it's a long commute to the studio. So the people were amazing. The studio was awesome, but I'm having some health issues still with the Lyme disease, and I have to know my limits. And yeah, the commute for now is too much, but I listened to my body and my limitations. And even though I felt a little foolish, kind of being like, I'm pausing this and then being right back, you know, I'm listening to my heart, my soul. And I get to have Allison on. And Allison is very special to me for many reasons. But I will say, back, what, like 15 years ago or something?
Very long time ago.
When we first got connected, I just know that you were one of the few seers I knew then. And we can get into what seer and oracle means for you. But you've always had your fingers on the pulse. And you had a spiritual awakening, I would say, before it's now it's becoming common, thank goodness, because I hope we inherit the earth and change some things. But back when you and I connected, I think we were both getting called crazy a lot for what we were connecting to and feeling. So I love having you on as I bring Invasion of Privacy back, because I feel like we have this bond of being spiritual. I know that might sound silly, being very spiritual in Manhattan and just running events. You were doing a lot more events than I was back then in terms of the spiritual. I was doing a lot of comedy. Anyway, it is lovely to have you on.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's such an honor. And it is really special that we have known each other for so long and been witness to so much change and such a wild, mystical, beautiful, miraculous carpet ride, you know, that you've been on yourself, I've been on myself, and just all the places that our individual carpet rides have taken us. And it has been quite an adventure. And it is really intriguing when you have known someone as long as we have to be able to have that hindsight and all of that history, and to see so much evolution, not just within ourselves, but as you were mentioning, just with the planet and humanity, the landscapes, wow, it's drastically different. And yeah, wow. Even as I'm just kind of feeling it in this moment, that time in New York City, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, get too nostalgic or spend too much time on that, because we don't live there anymore. And, you know, we're, you know, totally different situations, but it is really wild now to look back at all that we were creating then and there, and really at the forefront of what has, yeah, thankfully opened up and blossomed for so much more of the world and for people. But whoa, what a journey, right? And
yeah.
I also just want to honor you for listening to your body. And I think that that's the most important thing that we can do, especially present moment when there's so much going on and so much noise in the world. I think the very most important thing we can do is learn how to hear the intelligence and wisdom of our bodies and of our hearts, and to stay in as pristine as possible attunement with pure love, God, and sacred earth mother, and listen and heed and honor from those places. And so knowing that that is how, where your pause for the podcast came in, and then your return is from those places, then that means it's perfect to me.
Thank you. And I know that you've had to listen. I think you call them sacred pauses. I think that's what you called them in some of your posts. And I really respect that because a lot of us, and I see it as a collective battle that we're a lot of us are coming up against, is listening to when you need to rest, rejuvenate, just take a pause, even just to listen to the other side or your body, your spirit guides, whatever you feel is right that's trying to come through. But it's hard, I think, to take a pause, especially if you were in that Manhattan like competitive atmosphere where if you take a pause, you're done. You're
You're
done,
out of
kid.
there. It's kicked to the curb. You're done.
So it's a journey for both of us, I think, to say, no, I need to listen to the aches and pains, and not just the aches and pains of our bodies, because we're not spring chickens anymore. So I think it's crucial to listen to your body. Same as when you're a kid, but I guess when you're young, you have more bounce back to staying up late or doing silly, I don't want to say silly things, but things that now would just kill me if I tried to pull an all-nighter or something like that. So, yeah, I very much honor your sacred pauses, and in general, yeah, you have to listen. I mean, I literally, my body broke. I went back to teaching, and I've had a cane for 3 years that I have to walk with. And for me, it was a hard lesson of when you don't listen and you push it, and you can break. And I did. So hopefully, we'll see where my journey there leads. But yeah, you gotta listen.
Yeah, the sacred pauses have been a really main principle of my life. And the thing, that keeps me, it's not that it's perfect 100% of the time in terms of, well, there is a genuine through line trust, right? Because I know that I'm listening and I'm heeding the directives of God, and from my divine intervention and awakening point, that's what I felt aligned with, and that's what I devoted to. Is like, okay, I'm finally going to get out of my own way, and I'm going to listen to you, God. And so I continue to do that. So there is, at the deepest level, that trust is ever present, but we're also on planet Earth, and I'm also a human. And when your calling merges, media and being whatever they call people nowadays, public figure, I've never really considered myself an influencer because I think I've been off social media more than I've been on. But it's, we live in an intriguing time where there's such multidimensionality in this modern world and merging of things. And so when you are used to functioning and being ambitious and goal-driven in a certain way, and also when you add to that perhaps living in New York City or wherever, that's bustling and has more of that heightened energy, it can elicit more thoughts here and there where you're just like, am I doing the right thing? Am I going to get left behind? Isn't it, when I am instructed to get back out there, is anyone going to remember me? So I definitely have navigated all of that, but I am so grateful. My sacred pauses have historically been quite long ones. One that happened in New York City was a little over, I think, 3 years. And that's when I had returned from Bali, and I had a whole wild, mystical, huge bat experience there. And there were so many different layers to this, but I got instructed then to, to cease all of those events that I really got known for doing, and all those, guided journeys and big collaborations. And so I listened to that, and that's, a story that but even the one more recently. You're one of the first podcasts that I've done in a long time. Of course, my husband Luke has The Lifestylist, and I go on his quite frequently. But that's right here down the hall in our altar studio, and it's like it's different. I walk upstairs and I'm in my house and I record with him. So saying yes to being here with you today, it's I'm really just emerging back out in the world after another few years of the deepest, darkest, most insular cave work of my life, both metaphysically and actually physically. I did go to some ancient initiatory cave temples in the highlands of the Andes in Peru. And so there was that cave work did actually take place. But metaphysically, I just was doing the deepest, most ancient healing of my life that required every part of me to make it through that. And so there was no way I had the capacity or bandwidth to also try to show up as a guide or a teacher or do interviews. Like, I was crawling in the dark for a very long time. And so that one, I didn't even have the juice to be out. It was such an inward deep one. But yeah, I'm coming out of another sacred pause right now. And just, I think the last thing I'll say before I take a little break is the message that came in at the front of that three-ish more recent pause, 3 year most recent pause, was enlightenment is trying to reach you through equanimity. And it came in crystal clear. You know, I heard it repeated a few times. You know, it was one of those messages that the light bulb didn't go off instantaneously. It was just kind of like, okay, you know, what? And I'm still living into that message. And it's been such a beautiful theme that was one of the things that kind of kept me crawling and kept me going. You know, I was given enough glimmers and faith that I would make it through. And somehow I did. Yeah, having experienced that cave, and you know, I also am coming out of a really deep, I know for you it's not TMI, but prepping the listeners, I've done a many month parasite cleanse, and talk about listening to your body. I've really been tending to so many different components of myself, and having fleshed out and cleared and visibly seeing the clearing of countless parasites and worms exiting my body, my life force is coming back now. I'm feeling my strength again for the first time in such a long time. And so the juxtaposition, right, of like crawling through the darkest darkness and now, you know, acclimating to the light again and feeling my life force and my natural effervescence coming back online and getting the downloads again for what my new era offerings are, that equanimity teaching, it's like I have such reverence for the polarities. And having been in such dark and now feeling the life force and light again, and just I have a name for her. I call her Equanimity Eden. And she's just able to stay and that place of equanimity and peace and grace, kind of no matter what is swirling outside of me. But it's been a big, big medicine teaching the last few years is that.
Thank you. You put that so beautifully. And I'm a big believer in non-duality and honoring the paradoxes within and without. And yeah, being human, even when you're on your spiritual journey, is a crazy one where you're going to hit the dark times and the light times. And even I think just seeing certain places within myself, the light and the dark, can be a jarring part of the journey, you know, of just truth and acceptance, seeing the truth of yourself when you use others as a mirror. It can be exhausting, but it's also beautiful and rejuvenating. But I loved hearing the way you described it. And I feel blessed to have known you for so long and to just still be connected to you on our journeys and to check in when we do and to continue rooting for each other's unveiling in a certain way, right? Just like finding out who we truly are and being in our power, no longer playing small. I feel like we both have had powerful psychic and spiritual gifts since we were young, but it took us a long time to really bring them back into ourselves and own them. And yeah, I honor you, and I'm excited to still be your friend.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there is something special. I've been someone, I'm a bit more of a lone wolf, you know, and in years past, I would be, I don't know, maybe even hard on myself for having that nature, or maybe at times confused and like looking into that. Is that something that I need to like quote unquote correct or adjust? And I've come to just accept that. For whatever reason, that's a large part of my makeup this lifetime is being more of a lone wolf. And I've never been one that's kept large friend groups and friend circles and massive social circles. I've always kind of, no matter where I've lived, and I've lived a lot of different places, and no matter what career or calling I was in, have been in, and I've been in a lot of different ones of those too. It's like any chapter of my life, when I look back, that lone wolf makeup is just. She's always been there. And I guess I say all of that because, you know, the few folks here and there that, you know, by divine design or for whatever reason, there has been a maintained connection. The older I get, the more I really relish that and have a really deep gratitude and special place in my heart for the people that I have felt called to stay in connection with, or it's meant to be in a co connection with. It is special. Yeah.
I agree with you. I have claimed my lone wolf, I would say, in the last 6 years, because when we were out in Manhattan, I definitely had spread myself a bit thin in the comedy community because it's such a networking thing. And then I had my crazy jarring awakening with Arcturian aliens coming to me while I was already in that community. So for me, kind of claiming the part of me that is a hermit has been huge in the last, I guess, yeah, like 6, 7 years. And it's allowed me to appreciate more the friendships that are still around and feel good and sacred and holy. And I don't have that many anymore, but the ones that I do have feel very rich and just based on flexibility and evolution. You and I have
Yeah.
both gone through different things and have had periods of not talking, not out of anger or anything. And I think we both allow truly for the surrender and the space.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful for that. And you know, and I personally, you know, for the ones that it didn't shape up, that it would go the long haul, it's like, you know, talking about the equanimity, I'm not good batting, righting wrong
Right,
in any
right.
of it. But yeah, there is just something nice where somebody has known these different versions of you, and there's less explaining, and there's just more of an innate understood like foundation, like, oh, I know she gets me. I know she knows who I am. There's less explaining, you know,
Right.
when there's rather than when there's somebody who's just known you the last couple of years or they're brand new to you. It's just like, where do you even begin? Like, once, you know, when there's people like us that just live on this evolutionary path and have changed, we change so much, you know, day to day, week to week. So there's just, yeah, like a really beautiful piece when I can speak to you or Juliet or someone that's known the New York City version of me. Or I have one childhood friend that she's like my childhood bestie. Shout out to Nikki. Just saw her
Aww.
when I visited Indiana a couple weeks ago. And yeah, there's a different stability and in those kinds of relationships.
Yeah. I love thinking back on our New York City days, but I wouldn't necessarily want to relive them. I don't have
Correct.
the energy. Manhattan, it feels pretty chaotic when I feel into it now. Back then, I could keep up, but I mean, I broke. I broke in that world as well, too. So I like to think about it, but I'm like, I don't know how I was keeping up then.
It's a little challenging, even for me, when I see shows that have New York City scenes in them. I don't want to say it's not PTSD level because that's a stretch, but there is a feeling that I feel. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like there's a, Aversion also is a bit strong. I'm struggling to find the exact right word. I am so deeply grateful because I had my first major awakening in Brooklyn, and it is such a beautiful, powerful vortex. And yeah, when I look back at the things I did, we did, it's pretty mind-boggling. I mean, really, the level and magnitude and the grandness of the things that we were creating there was truly incredible. And I look back, and I sometimes like, wow, I did that? Holy moly, like what the heck? That was really significant, and it built such a wonderful foundation. And just no way. I've only been back once since I left so many years ago, and it was to guide a journey, and I'm glad I went. It was for my dear friend Melissa Ruiz, and love her, and it was because of her that I said yes, that she's the one that got me to make a New York City trip back. But it was surreal walking around the streets. I just kind of couldn't believe that I lived there for so long, and I was able to handle the energetics there. But yeah, different time, different place, different version of me. Now I'm like in my yard naked every day. I'm very feral. I'm in the soil. Luke and I just lugged up a huge, heavy sod squares to resod our backyard. And I love being naturey and dirty and feral, and I feed our deer. We have deer that visit us every day, and they just had little baby fawns. So I'm meeting all the new little spotted baby deer, and we've got a lot of creatures and animals here in Texas. And so I'm really grateful that moving here has allowed me to get even more wild and less city.
I hear that. I would love to have a nice backyard. One to get naked in would be incredible. That's an extra level of privacy. I would love that. So I totally hear you. I haven't made it into Manhattan and I guess in almost a year and a half. I was still going in for shows here and there. And yeah, that I can my chest and heart would start to go, but that's yeah. I still honor it the way you do. You know, it's a crazy, amazing place, and there's so much fertile ground to grow creative ventures, but the pace is pretty intense, and I needed some more air myself, you know. Plus, walking, I can't even walk that much, so
How would you be
it's all
bouncing
walking.
from one comedy club to the next? Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I want to say this real quick, this topic. So the advertisements on this podcast are like automatically generated like through the program. So when I was listening to, I think, my last podcast, one of the advertisements they put on was an Ashley Madison advertisement. So I just want to state, because I tried to go on, because you can say no to certain types of ads. I went
Some
on,
guidelines or
I was looking like how to wear that one. There was nothing that said like cheating websites or Ashley Madison even. So I just want to state I don't support that business. It's like I think it's for people who want to cheat. They're married, they want to cheat. I am not like, no thanks. I'm not supporting that. I'm also not trying to judge
right?
cheaters,
Yep,
okay?
non-dual,
Like,
yep.
yep, everyone has a unique situation. I just don't, I was not like, yes, Ashley Madison, let's do a partnership. That's all, yeah. And same if there's like drinking, cigarettes, gambling. I don't know why it gets put with mine. I got to figure out the settings, obviously. I just had to say that.
That's very good. That's a good energy tidying up. That's a good cleaning, clearing up. That's a good housekeeping tidbit right there.
My heart like went left right out of my chest when I heard that
I can
advertisement. I was
imagine.
like,
You'd be like,
what?
wait, what? Oh my gosh. Well, you heard it here. Here's the official statement.
I would love like a crystal company, any kind of higher level consciousness company. I would love those advertisements. But
Tea, like tea drinking, what? Yeah.
yes, yeah, yoga mats. Like, remember you had those great yoga mats at one of our events from a company you knew? Like,
Yes.
you always had great partnerships with them.
Really, yeah. The sponsorships were solid in New York City. I really,
Yes.
yeah, we had that nailed down. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Next topic. I want to talk about the field reveal and know more about what this is because it's your new offering. I would love to hear about it.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just tuning in because as it is such a new era offering, and she's still forming. She's this, she's not that she's delicate, but the creation energy of her is still forming and ebbing. I see her like the form that she's in, and it's almost like seaweed in the water, or like a flower with blooms, but in the water. She's still very much taking shape and form. And yet, I did feel compelled to let you know and to start to speak her alive, and let the transmission of the field reveal just begin in a gentle way to enter out outside of the home here. So let's see where to begin and what wants to be shared about her. What I'm getting, if you're okay with it, is would you be open to doing just a brief few minute practice together of entering into the field together?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. So, just to let the friends, the listeners with us know, what I'm going to start to do in a minute is simply opening up the divine field. So, one of the easiest ways I can describe it is for some people, they experience this field like you would a medicine field, but there's no medicine involved and no medicine needed. And the core essence of it is the energy and love of pure love God. We enter into the shared field with that, and we simply go on a brief ride together. We see what reveals, the field reveal. And so, if this is resonating for you, I just invite you in a moment when I begin to shift us into the field more. You know innately how to do this shift. So, trust yourself and allow yourself to shift. If for whatever reason, as I'm speaking to this, as I'm saying the phrase, the field reveal, if there's any part of you that's like a no thanks or not today, fully honoring you and that, the biggest principle of this work is honoring sovereignty, honoring my sovereignty and the sovereignty of everyone involved. And so here's your opportunity if you're feeling a resistance to the level that says you want to opt out. Maybe fast forward at this point. But for those of you who feel the resonance and are feeling a yes to the beginnings of this transmission, just going to go ahead now and begin the process. And as we begin to shift into the field, it's a sharing of what we're noticing. And so for me, it's different every day, but today, as soon as I began to shift, I feel my belly, my creative center, it's like really, really full and big right now. I feel a grounding and an expansion in my belly. And I feel, yeah, just an overall softening in my personal space, and also in my body, I can feel my shoulders have dropped. I feel an exhale and a peace inside of my body and my space. And as you continue to shift and acclimate to the field, Kate, whenever you feel compelled to share anything that you're noticing or feeling, please do.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a bunch of visions. I know what happened in my posture is I actually straightened up while in the field, but in a comfortable way. But like whatever slouch was going on or just holding my body improperly in a sense was corrected. And then, yeah, I got a marigold vision, a sunflower. I saw the sun beaming down. And then I saw all these like stars, but it almost also looked like spaceships, kind of got the sense of some enlightened aliens around us supporting. I do work with enlightened aliens, but they were like coming through very strongly in support of both of us. So that's what I felt so far.
So let's rest with that share and let's just see what continues to reveal. Let's just keep resting in this space. I feel and see these new colors of energies, like it's like a liquid small spiral that's going up and down the center line of my being.
Yeah, I'm seeing colors for sure. Like layers of like purple, blues, reds. Feels very healing.
So, as the knowing of the healing is here, yeah, let's stay with what healing is presenting. For me, there's an essence of levity that has been a really big healing for me lately, which is so enjoyable, and I can feel the levity energy. Here right now, it keeps it light for me, and I'm so grateful for that. I
Amen.
know the dark waters and dark terrains and tunnels and caves very intimately, and so I'm very much appreciating the continued levity healings I'm receiving.
Me too. As you know, I think that's why I often steered to comedy, was to find that levity. I didn't always find that levity energy in comedy, but I'm always looking for that lighter, joyous place because the other road here can get very, very dark sometimes.
Yeah, and while I do feel, the caves obviously have their importances, but bears don't hibernate forever, and the ancient initiatory caves, they weren't meant for you to stay down there the entire lifetime. So it's important to know how and when to exit the cave.
Right.
As much as it's important to, if you feel you're being led into a cave for a certain teaching or process or healing in your life, it's important to honor that. But I have learned very intimately that it's just as important to learn how to let yourself walk out of the cave and come back to the light.
Amen. I also got the sense of the wolf. You were talking about the lone wolf before. With the wolf in my name, it's always been an animal I've geared towards, but I'm feeling like it's an animal totem. I know you've written a whole book on animal totems and their symbolism, and I am feeling the wolf being present as well for both of us.
And do you feel the wolf saying anything or is sending a transmission through its presence? What do you notice about the wolf?
I'm getting that howling. Remember when we had comedy seance and we'd howl at the end? I'm getting a very fun, expressive, full howling at the moon, at life, just really allowing our instincts to come through and kind of celebrating life force. So that's what I got when I connected just now, as you said that, was the howling.
I love to howl.
Me too.
And I'm not sure when you will release this episode, but June 29th is the full moon. So
Okay.
I don't know if this will be out before, after, or on, but I mean, you can howl anytime. But if it just happens to align with when the full moon is, make sure everyone let's it rip, go on outside, and it's so cathartic to let yourself release some howling.
Yes, I actually did a joke about it on stage for a while. Didn't go as well as I wanted. So I paused it where, yeah, I joke about howling and my neighbors being concerned. You know, you might not have that issue because you have more space and more nature around you, but I would love to howl more. I would love to just have bonfire ceremonies and dances and be in that very free, alive space. And I feel like the wolf medicine's kind of showing me those images that are within me, and I plan on manifesting somehow one day. But they feel very much in my soul. And I know I've shared these visions with you, and you've gotten to live them, I think, a lot more than me recently. And yeah, I think, yeah, the wolf is just calling on me, on the listeners, to bring out our full life force, to have
Well,
fun.
yeah, and before we close this particular once across all eternity field reveal, this particular magic carpet ride, excuse me, I'm releasing something. I meant to note that in the beginning. Sometimes I yawn a lot or belch and release things or do these just different types of breaths move through me. So I meant to note that in the beginning that if that starts to occur, that's just kind of part of this journey and this process. But before we close this particular field time, let's go ahead and invite Sacred Grandfire in the center of this field reveal and allow ourselves to just have a small bonfire here for a moment to let yourself experience that way and those medicines and those more primal, feral, ceremonies that your bones and your blood and all parts of you have been so ready to experience more. Let's have us experience it now and invite the fire in and just take a moment to gaze at her flame and just how the fire wants to communicate for you. And if there's any offering you feel called, we do fires quite regularly here at our home, and I just did one with Luke and Cookie a few days ago. And for me, that particular fire, every single one is different, of course, but as I'm entering into this new era, I gave some offerings of just a deep bow of gratitude and completion and giving to the field and completion some previous roles and identities and titles and narratives that at one point were of service, not just for me, but for the world, but they have since come to an honoring completion. And so I provided some different offerings, tobacco and some a little bit of lavender. I gave those offerings to the fire to complete some of that. So if you or anyone listening feels clear as I'm sharing, if there's a narrative or a role or identity that you just know in your heart has come to a completion, you can just take a second now to symbolically just visualize in your hand whatever offering feels aligned. Maybe it's a piece of tobacco and just placing gratitude and honor and whatever else you wish to place into that offering. And then when you feel ready, you can place that offering into the fire here and give it to the field. What was one thing that you offered to the fire?
This is going to sound, well, I'm already judging and feeling self-conscious. I gave my heart and soul to the fire and just wanted to be burned so my truth could just come out ultimately. So I don't know if that was too intense or not, but I just kind of saw myself giving, yeah, my heart and soul to it.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. That reminds me, another part of the last fire I did was a recommitment for me. As you know, my main guide this lifetime, well, for many lifetimes, is Jesus. And it wasn't a part of my plan for the last fire ceremony, but as I was at the fire, it just, similar to you, just felt compelled to offer what you did today to the fire. I just spontaneously felt compelled in a ceremonial way to recommit to my divine relationship and love for Jesus. And so that's was kind of the essence I felt when you shared what you gave. It felt like a recommitment of sorts in some level. I don't know if it's a recommitment to yourself, your calling to
Right.
God, but it had a little bit of a similar essence. That's so beautiful. And I will close with saying my vow. And my vow is, I experience pleasure with I vow that the field is enough. And I wanted to close our time by speaking that vow because I vow that the field is enough. And so, with that vow, we can trust that whatever is offered or placed in the field or given to the field, we can trust that the field is enough, and we can trust that this purely loving, divine, sacred field knows just what to do. And that allows us to rest in it and trust in it and to trust what you offered to the fire. I vow that the field is enough. So we'll close this particular field reveal, give thanks, fully completing it across all time and space. Amen.
Amen.
I knew it would be a fun voyage with you.
Thank
So
you.
that's the field reveal. It's best to some, to do it, but that's one of the practices. And the one thing that I did want to share very specifically, that's an arm, that's a branch of the field reveal, is the love side of things, the conscious relationship side of things. And so what is emerging is an unscripted love series that will involve the medicine of the field and conscious singles ready for love and partnership, being able to mix and mingle and enter into the sacred field and meet other conscious singles who have not lost faith that there's somebody out there that can hold all of them, that can celebrate all of them. And so, if anyone listening, if there's a little, excitement percolating up inside of you, please email. It's very simple criteria. It's a casting call. I'm going to start to gather the pool of conscious singles and eventually turn this into an unscripted series called Match with the Field Reveal. So if this is interesting to you, write down this email. You can email match, MATCH, at thefieldreveal.com. And if you're a conscious single who is ready to have the sacred partner revealed for you, please, in that email, place your name, your age, your city and state, your gender and the gender preferred for your partner, three pictures, one full body lifestyle picture would be very helpful. And then just name three main life interests or hobbies that you have. Just some very simple preliminary information. And Kate, I don't know if you have show notes that, but maybe you could post
Yeah.
information in the show notes for people.
Will do for sure. You got to email them and I will put them right on there.
So yeah, just
Congrats. That's exciting. I didn't know it was going to there.
I
That's
know, I was
very
waiting to tell you.
interesting.
These are the new things showing up for me in my new era, and it feels fun, and the levity and the lightness, and a very different texture than my work in years past. So I'm very excited about it.
Very cool. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Me too. I mean, I my past with my spiritual awakening and divine intervention came from God needing to pluck me out of a very abusive long-term relationship that I just, was stuck in. And it took a divine intervention to get me out. And then so many years of devoted healing and celibacy And then to have arrived in this incredible marriage that I have with my husband, Luke. And he also has had he previously had a very tumultuous relationship path. And we haven't had a chance to do much with it because I wrote my book and then he just turned in his book. But we have a brand called Higher Power Couple. We've given a couple talks together, but God is tapping me on my shoulder and sending me in first. He's like, "Well, Luke's doing his book thing. You need to get this. You need to support other people. I know what it's like to want the fullness of me cherished and celebrated and honored. And I know it can take, for us spiritual people and on the evolutionary path, who don't want to settle for something that's not what we know we came here to experience with love, it can be quite a path. And so if I can support other people and finding their sacred partner, oh my gosh, what greater joy,
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I love being in my partnership. It's not perfect all the time. That's the other thing. I think even when I was a little kid, I always envisioned how a marriage would fix every part of me and I wouldn't have any work to do anymore. And for me, it's just like my ultimate mirror, you know? It shows me my own polarities and extremes. Just like, because your partner could be on one side, you can be on the other, but then because you love each other and you see yourself in the other, you start to balance that equanimity you were talking about. So I love romance, I love love. So I think that's very cool. And I want to be updated. And when you get this TV show going, I want to somehow come and be a guest speaker or something. We'll do
Absolutely.
a comedy exercise or something.
Definitely. Yes, of course. Yes, that's why I was excited to tell you about it. And yeah, the exact, detailed formulation is still entering the field for me.
Oh, that's cool.
That God is like, get the casting call going and let's start to gather the folks that are resonating on this level of frequency.
Well, that's amazing. Incredible. I didn't see it coming, and I love it.
Thanks. I knew I was so excited. I was like, I'm gonna toss this curveball her way and surprise you with that extra tidbit of information today.
So, before we wrap up, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
It's about you being an oracle, and I am curious just a little bit more on when you felt this ability really came in. I'm guessing, like I said, that you were young and an oracle, but I just want to hear your journey with that and then claiming that term.
Yes, as you have shared, definitely incarnated with that bright light and those medicine gifts, so that I could walk this calling and this path. But a quick update regarding things, the part where when I was very young, I think around 3 or 4, I felt I needed to I was at a choice point where I either needed to suppress my gifts and my light to continue my relationship with my dad, because not only was he my dad, but he was also my athletic coach. I was a distance runner from the time I was 2.5 years old. Yes, there's picture proof. Yes, I know it's weird. That's just what it was. He put me in my first road race at like not even 3 years old. And from there was very intense training. And I became, two-time national champion athlete and ran for Alabama and all the things. I was a Division I college coach in this lifetime, which doesn't feel like a true statement, but I was, because it just feels so many lifetimes ago. But because that relationship with my dad was, of primary importance for a number of reasons. Survival, he was my dad, he was also my coach. And I was just seeing things, he experienced a lot in life, as we all do. And he, at that time, just hadn't been able to fully face or transmute or heal some of that stuff. So I was seeing a lot in him, which made it very difficult to hold both. So when I was very young, I made a choice to suppress and dim my seership and my light and my gifts so that I can maintain being able to be with him all day, every day for all these different purposes. Well, through, my soul keeping a sliver of those gifts alive and then having the divine intervention and spiritual awakening, I began to recommit to allowing that light and those gifts to reemerge. And what was so beautiful is I went to Indiana to visit my family just a couple weeks ago. And I just want to honor my dad because I had the most, he's really been having, and I just share sake in such a sacred space. And I won't give too many details because it's his life, his path, but he's really changed a lot over the last number of years. And from my perspective, he's had some level of spiritual awakenings. And it's so beautiful to witness and see him evolving at this age. So powerful, so potent. And when I was there a few weeks ago, I asked if he would be open to me videoing him and just interviewing him and getting some of his life experience and stories on camera. And he was willing, and it was really healing and really powerful. And just recently on Father's Day, I texted him, Happy Father's Day. And he wrote me the most beautiful note back. And it was unexpectedly this full circle healing because my dad specifically honored my light. And he specifically noted and wrote about how I have the unique ability that not everyone does, and maybe they do to some capacity in different levels, but of when I walk into a room, that transmission and that light is felt and that healing really emanates. And so for my dad to now be at a place where he is expressing outwardly and honoring the light and the gifts that I at one point 40 whatever years ago felt I had to suppress. How major is that, Kate?
That's incredible. I love hearing that.
So major.
Yeah.
I mean, so full circle. I mean, that's a 40, I'm 47 now. I think I suppressed around 3 years old. So that's a 44 year in the making full circle healing moment. Like we're talking ancestry, lineage, parentals. It's like really potent
Yeah, you're
medicine.
healing karmic cycles and that generational trauma. You know, it's huge, and I really want to honor you and him for being able to evolve and allow that new light to come in, because you kind of have to soften your vessel to allow yourself to receive. And it sounds like obviously you've been on that journey of not just receiving, but getting other people to change, well, I want to say evolve their vessels. And for your dad to be able to do that is huge for both of you. So
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I bring that up because speaking to the light and the gifts and things really started to shift. Again, I've never been on these like quests to quote unquote become a certain thing or title. It's what ushers into me from God or from Sacred Earth Mother, or it's what begins to open up and unlock from within, from my soul. That's what informs me, whether being ushered very clearly onto the shamanic path and writing the shamanic education books, the Animal Power book and deck that talks and shares about animal medicine, like that aspect of my journey so crystal clear revealed. And that was a calling and a very loud and clear instruction that I needed to heed and answer. And I did so for nearly 2 decades. And as I was starting to emerge out of that most recent cave period, Luke and I last summer went up for the whole summer and stayed in Nevada City. Have you ever been there? It's really magical. Yeah, I really think you would love it. Yeah, it's very unique. And long story short, I ended up in this really quaint Nevada City downtown, this beautiful store that has copaleras where you can burn offerings and copal. And of course, I made my way in there, met the owner. She's this incredible oracle named Isis. And it's like kind of how when you and I met, the second we met, we just knew each other. And I was sitting on the store floor picking out my copalera. Like we were just like we had been sitting in the ancient desert sands from 1,000 lifetimes ago. We didn't even ask each other our names initially. And it was through my time with her, and I typically don't get readings from people. I'm very self-sourced and God-sourced. But when I do feel called to allow, I feel in safe, trusting space to have someone do a reading for me, I will. And Isis is was given this divine blueprint to create this oracle board. It's really fantastic and pretty complex. But I sat with her a number of times and we just hung out and she gave me these beautiful readings. And what was so powerful was, she's an oracle with an Oracle of Academy Arts. Like, this is her work, her offering her trainings to the world. And so for one oracle to witness me and to just to be able to have that exchange, the oracle that's always been inside of me, like, she really saw without me telling her. She didn't know me personally before, so she knew nothing of the caves I was traversing and all the initiations, the many, many multi-tiered, multi-layered initiations that I was trying to survive at one time during those 3 years in the last cave. She saw them all in great detail and saw all the initiations, the high priestess initiations. And again, I didn't sign up for a course to become a high priestess. This is stuff that happened in the cave that I was just organically being initiated in. And so I was in sacred witnessing with her. And so that allowed the oracle within to want to blossom more outwardly. And the last part I'll speak to around the clarity of it is, full well, when you devote to this path and to working in sacred communion with God the way that we do for long enough, you begin to gather a tool belt of various abilities and spiritual tools, and your gifts not only come more online, but the ones you've already been aware of get more robust and stronger and more responsibilities and all the things. And so that's another component of embracing and accepting and fully embodying my oracle nature. To me, an oracle is a very multifaceted, multi skilled, I guess is a fair word. We carry a lot of different gifts and have walked through a lot of different initiatory fires and understand the sacred responsibility and nature of things. And so it just allows me to be in fuller expression. It doesn't tie me to a one title and a one path and a one thing anymore. I'm ready to be in more full expression and freedom.
I love that. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's a great place to shift into. A place of surrender too, right? Of like, I'm gonna call myself whatever feels right, and I'm whole. I'm not gonna pigeonhole myself. Is that the phrase for it?
I think so.
Pigeonhole?
Pitch.
I mess up phrases a lot, but you know what I mean.
That's what I think that's correct.
I honor that way of being. I think
Thank
that's
you.
great.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to thank you so much for coming on here and podcasting with me. We've been podcasting together for a long time.
My
And
goodness.
I remember the first time we met, the picture of that, I look like I met Justin Bieber or
You were
Selena Gomez.
cheesing.
Yeah.
Your smile was ear to ear like a Cheshire cat. You're like, we
Yeah.
found each other.
I was very excited when we met in person. So, thank you again for coming on and being a guest. And thank you to everyone for listening. And, Allison, where can people find you on Instagram, TikTok, etc.?
Yes, I am emerging back out into those worlds little by little. Instagram is at I am Allison Charles. My TikTok, I think I haven't posted in a while, but I'm gonna get back on there, and I changed my handle. I think it's now at Allison Oracle, I believe is my handle there. And my website, it's like I'm in between worlds right now. I mean, AllisonCharles.com still exists, but that's the old her. That is the path that I'm doing a deep bow to. And thefieldreveal.com, I'm having so much fun. I can never thought I would say this statement, but I'm actually having fun creating and building my own website. Who would have ever thought? I'm the least tech savvy person out there. But I'm developing thefieldreveal.com. So that's in the works. It's not live yet. But the emails are. So the match at thefieldreveal.com email is alive and working and functioning. And so that's why the casting call arm of it is alive so far.
Okay, great. I'm going to be excited to see where all that goes. So you have
Thank
to keep me updated.
I will. And thank you so much for having me. Thanks for being such a great friend throughout the years. I love you and treasure you so much. And I'm so happy that you're honoring your path and all parts of you. And welcome back to your world of invasion of privacy that you started so long ago. I'm sure your listeners are super happy that you're back.
I hope so. I hope they're not like, ah, what is going on with her? Make up her mind or whatever. But
No, they're probably just along on the ride with you, and they're just like, sweet, a new episode. Awesome.
good, good. Yeah, I can get in my head. And thank you for saying all that. I love you too. And I love seeing you continue to evolve and just claim who you are. You're so powerful. And I know we had like that super new moon. And you texted me on it, and I loved that. And then we had this other big, I think it was like a full moon, the Beltane full moon, I believe it was, that happened. And I remember hearing that it was about no longer playing small. And that really spoke to me. And
Oh, I
I,
got chills.
yeah, and I think of you and just how big and beautiful your energy is, your energy field, how many lifetimes you've lived, your connections to the other side and the beings on earth. And yeah, it's just cool to watch you put on your crown and not play small and just inspire others, whether they're family members or not, to not play small either and to heal karmic cycles. It's really
Wow.
cool to see.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And thank you, everybody, for listening and breaking karmic cycles with us.
Thanks for joining us in the field, too.
Yes. Bye.
Bye-bye.